Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel reading, Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. Well, good morning. It is a good morning. In fact, it's a great morning. It's a great morning because you have your new pastor here. And I'm glad to be here. And think about all that it took to get to this point. That pastor left, you had a vacancy there, and so then you had to wait to find out what the district was going to do for you. So the district president then sent out to have you make sure that you had an interim pastor because you're wondering, well, who's going to come and serve here during this time? And so you got your interim pastor here, and then you waited some more. And you put a call committee together and waited some more because you had to get some names in from the district office there and go through all those names there to determine, well, which ones you want to interview. So that took time. And so finally you got some that you interviewed, and finally you wanted to bring one in, and so you brought one in, came in here, had a little meet and greet, went back, and then what did you do? Well, you had a meeting, another meeting, in which you decided that you wanted to call this pastor. And so that you did. So the call was extended to the pastor, and you had to wait some more, because once he received that call, well, then he had to evaluate that call. And what goes through that process? Well, that's part of, well, you think about what advantages and things and ministry opportunities and challenges that the call that you have here to New York would be. But also, too, then I had to review, well, the call that I already had. Do I stay there? So you weigh those back and forth. And so in the meantime, then Easter's in there. So that prolonged everything. So we've got all that time that's going on, waiting and waiting until finally decided that, hey, going to accept that call. Then you had to wait some more. Because you had to determine here, it's like, well, when is a good opportunity for me to leave and come on up here and those kinds of things. And so finally, it all worked out then that, well, he arrived, I arrived, and was installed last Sunday. And so now you're thinking, it's like, great, we got our pastor here. Everything is done. Yeah. Done maybe from your perspective, but not from my perspective, because it's not done yet for me. You see, while my family came up here last Sunday, my bride is not with me. She's still back in Savannah. We've got a house that we need to sell. So there's some more time there. So when is that going to take place? I don't know. So here it seems like everything is done, and yet at the same time, it is not done. And that makes for a good illustration this morning for our gospel reading for today. We are in the season of Easter. Now, when you look at all of our readings here during the season of Easter, it's all those things they're talking about after Jesus rose from the grave. Good stuff. But yet, as we look at this passage here, our gospel reading for today, well, it doesn't happen after Jesus rose. Rather, this prayer that he has happened before. You see, we focus on those kinds of things. See, as we talk about after he rose from the grave, that's during the season of Easter, we also have, in the middle of the season of Easter here, Ascension Day. We celebrated that this past Thursday. And that's when the Christ candle was put out. Because the Christ candle is there, it's lit during that time in which Jesus is still here on this earth. But now that he's ascended into heaven, that's out. And so here we've got this passage here that seemingly doesn't fit with all the rest. All the events of Holy Week haven't happened yet. So why is this here? Well, let's take a look at that this morning. Well, we begin where it says, when Jesus had just spoken these words. Well, he'd been with his disciples, and so he'd been chatting with them in the previous chapter there, 16. Talks about how in a short time that all of his disciples are going to scatter. Okay, so he's looking forward to what's going to happen there to him during Holy Week. What's going to happen on Good Friday. And so he's talking about how he's going to be left alone, save one. The Heavenly Father is going to be with him. Now, while the world is going after them, Jesus says that he is the one who has overcome the world. And then he lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he prays. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now the clue here is this. The hour has come. All right, the time has come for Jesus to complete his work. And what does that work? Well, that's going to take him to the cross. And there he's going to die on that cross. And so he's asking the Father to glorify him in this process. Now, when we hear the word glorify, well, we think of praise and giving honor to someone. Well, that's very natural for us. That's how we would define that word. But also, it seems so strange to have that kind of request to glorify him, really, by going to the cross and dying. Well, John, when he used this word back in the day, it also has a meaning of this, that it's of revealing or making known God's character or nature. That goes along with this. Now, when we look at it from that perspective, it certainly changes the meaning a little bit more here about glorify, because we get an understanding here more about what the Heavenly Father is going to do during this hour that is to come. We have a better understanding what it's going to mean then for humanity as well. And so what is going to happen? Well, again, Jesus is going to go to the cross. And there the wrath of God is going to come down upon him, his own son. The one who knew no sin is going to be sin for us. Yes, all the reasons in which we deserve to be up on that cross ourselves are going to be given to Jesus, and he's going to take it for us. Strange, is it not, that Jesus would be glorified in this? But yet, what is made known about the Father here? You see, by Jesus going to the cross, he's earning the forgiveness of our sins. You see, we're learning very much about the character of God. And what is it that's going to happen here? You see, through Jesus' death, the love of the Father is shown. He wants to love you and me. Now, certainly, the disciples, they wanted to see the Father. They wanted to know the Father. In fact, you know, Philip even asked, it's like, you know, show us the Father, Jesus, you know, and that'll be enough. And Jesus is like, really? Are you serious? You've been with me all this time here. Don't you know me just yet? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And if you don't believe that, well, then just believe in the works that I've done. You see, Jesus prays that, does he not? In his prayer there, he speaks about how all the loving acts were manifested there. And you can think about so many things that Jesus did, so many miracles. We can just pick out one. We can pick out the one, well, the guy who, well, he had started getting sores on his body, and he didn't realize what they were, and they kept getting worse. And, well, when they're getting worse, then the people started to recognize that, well, hey, what he's got is something that, well, nobody else wants to get. And so he gets put out of his home. He gets put out of the city because this disease that he had is leprosy. It's a horrible disease. He becomes unclean. At that point in time, nobody wants to touch him. Nobody will touch him. Nobody will hug him, nor can he hug anybody else. So the love that he has for his family and for his friends, that can't be shared. And it's a horrible thing. And he calls out to Jesus, and Jesus went up to him. And what did Jesus do? He touched him. He touched a leper. And he was healed. You see the works of Jesus. You see the works of the Father. And that is a work of the Father. The Father wants to heal. And he does heal. The Father wants to love. And he does love. The Father demonstrated that healing and love in Jesus. Now, the Father demonstrated that love when Jesus was hanging on the cross. The Son was buried. And as Jesus said, Father, glorify your Son. The Father did glorify him by raising him from the grave alive. He made known to all that forgiveness can be had for all who believe in the Son. And what does this show us about the Father? Well, that the Father wants us to have eternal life. It's interesting here about how all that work was shown in advance. Foretold. The prophets talked about how the Messiah would come. The Messiah did come. He was born. He lived. He died. He rose again so that we might be forgiven and have the hope of eternal life. Well, it seems like all is done. Jesus' hour has come. Your pastor is here. Seems like it's all done, right? Yet it is not. There is still more to be done. Pastor's bride is not here. Where is Christ's bride? Well, Christ's bride is the church. and that is to whom eternal life has been given, to all who believe. And how can they believe if they are not told? And to whom has that task been made known? To make sure that Jesus is made known to all. Well, that task is given to you and me. Sure, you have a new pastor here. The work is not done, though. It's just the beginning. Jesus is praying here for us. Because while eternal life begins for us in our baptisms, we are still in the world. And this world needs to hear about Jesus. And that task has been given to the church, not just to me alone, not just to the deacons. It's been given to us all. Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." You see, we've been given different tasks and abilities and gifts, all ones that complement each other. They are given to each of us for the sake of the church, Christ's bride. Now, what do we do with that? Well, we want to make sure that Jesus is made known to all. So what do? Well, that's where we give witness to others. Now, one thing to remember about witnessing, it's not as hard as you think. And you think, oh, yeah, wait, Pastor, no, I can't do that. Witnessing is this and this only. Telling somebody else what you know about Jesus. Because you see, what gets caught up in all of that witnessing there is that we think that it's our job to convert somebody. Let me tell you this, it's not our job. That's God's job. He's the one who converts others to the faith. All that's asked of us is to tell others about Jesus. You see, when we begin to realize that and take that to heart, then witnessing becomes so much easier. Because you just tell somebody about how, yes, God loves you. It was shown through Jesus. He's the one who died on the cross, earning forgiveness of your sins. Rose from the grave alive to give you hope. Hope of everlasting life. There's the witness. It's God's job to carry the rest. Sure, you'll have other opportunities there to share that with others. But it's God's job to convert. You just make known Jesus to all. For there will be a day when Jesus will come back to get his church and take us to heaven. And there we will enjoy eternal life to the fullest. All the problems of this world will be gone forever. But until that day, let us keep our eyes focused on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. For our task is pointing others to Jesus. Why? For when we look at Jesus, there we find eternal life. Just as Jesus said, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.